Starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. They have no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and bless you for this opportunity to gather once again around the word of God, Lord. We come not by habit, but, Lord, with a desire to hear from you this morning through your word. May the Spirit of God give liberty. For we know where the Spirit is, there is liberty. And we pray, Lord, that we might receive the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. And, Lord, that we might heed that which you'd have for us today. We give you thanks and praise in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which I've read for us. I want to just to notice a couple of things here. Then I'm going to go back to the book of Exodus. But here in this chapter, the Bible says in verse 5, God was not pleased with many of those who were overthrown in the wilderness, the children of Israel he's speaking about here. He says in verse 6, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. He says in verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So I just want us to remind us of that these Old Testament examples are there for our learning and for our admonition and for us to be challenged with. I want us this morning to look particularly at one of these, mentioned in verse 7, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. The children of Israel had become idolaters, and that in a reasonably short amount of time. The New Testament warns us in many places about idolatry as believers. We would think as believers, why would we need to be warned about that? The very same reason why the nation of Israel had to be constantly warned about idolatry. You and I are no different in that sense. And remember, what happened to them was there for our learning and for our admonition. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5, the Bible mentions the covetous man who is an idolater. If you and I are coveting something, then we are guilty of idolatry. In other words, if there's something we really badly want and we are coveting that and desiring to have it, then God says we are an idolater. In Colossians 3 verse 5, one of the things that Paul warns about there is covetousness, which is idolatry. And what an idolatrous a nation we are today with the covetousness that is so pronounced throughout our nation. 1 John chapter 5 verse 21, and John said, "They're little children, keep yourselves from idols." And so this admonition that we get here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7 is applicable to us. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, I want to go back to the Old Testament now with that introduction and look into Exodus chapter 32. That's where I want us to spend most of our time this morning, but just to remember a little bit of background of the children of Israel. They had been some 400 years in bondage in Egypt. And they'd cried out to God that God would deliver them out of their bondage. We know the story. God sent Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh to tell him to let the people go. Pharaoh refused, he hardened his heart, and so God began to bring plagues upon the nation of Egypt, one after the other, until the tenth plague, when the firstborn of every family in Egypt died that night when the death angel passed over. Those homes where the blood of the lamb had been applied to the doorpost and the lintel, no one died in those homes, but all others, the firstborn, died. Then God led them via the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, God opened up the Red Sea. The children of Israel went across on dry land. Then God instructed Moses to raise his rod, and the sea came back and destroyed Pharaoh and his armies who had dared to go out to follow the nation of Israel. And in Exodus chapter 14, I'll read the verse, you don't need to turn there, in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. And so after all the plagues and everything else had taken place, now the children of Israel were in a place of great blessing. They feared the Lord, they believed the Lord, and they were ready to live for the Lord. You get across to chapter 19 of Exodus, and there we find the children of Israel before the Lord. And in verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. God said, Moses, I want you to tell the children of Israel that they are very special people to me. And if they will obey my voice and keep my covenant, they'll be a peculiar treasure above all people, and they'll be kingdoms of priests, and they will be a holy nation. And so verse 7, Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. Notice verse 8, if you've got your Bible there, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do. All right, Moses comes and shares with them what God had said, and the children of Israel and all the people said, all that the Lord has said, we're going to do it. Everything that God has commanded us, we will do it. All right, chapter 24. Verse 1, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. Boy, what a commitment. What an impressive commitment that all the people made. Not just a few of them, but all the children of Israel said, we will do all that God wants us to do. We are committed. We are submitted. We are going to be obedient to all that God wants us to do. Now let's get across to chapter 32 with that in our minds. Moses now has been up on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights to receive from God the Ten Commandments and the other things that God wanted for them. And in Exodus 32 verse 1, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together under Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us, for as this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." Now think about it for a minute. In Exodus 14, the Bible says that the children of Israel feared the Lord and believed the Lord. He's brought them through the Red Sea and done great things through the plagues and everything else. And so they believed God. They feared him. In chapter 19, they all said, "We will do all that God wants us to do." In chapter 24, all the people said, "We will do all that God wants us to do." They are committed. They are dedicated to serving God. And yet here we are, 40 days after Moses gone up to the top of the mountain to talk with God and get God's commandments, they're saying, "Up, make us gods." Imagine. Imagine. All of a sudden, they've forgotten their commitment to do all that God said. They've forgotten all that God has done for them. And now they say, "Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them," we know what he said. What he should have said is, "Don't you remember that commitment that you made to God? Don't you remember God's blessings? Don't you remember how he brought you out of Egypt? Don't you remember the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army and Pharaoh killed? Don't you remember all those things? Don't you remember your commitment? All of us will do all that God said." That's what Aaron should have said. But what he said was, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." It's almost impossible to believe it, but it's true. After the commitment which they had made, "We will do all that God says." And now here they are saying, "These are the gods which brought us out of Egypt." And yet Paul said, "These things are there for our learning and for our admonition." And you and I, if we're not careful, can do the very same thing. We can commit ourselves one day to God. "I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be serious about the Christian life. I'm going to do what God wants me to do." And then in a short time, be guilty of idolatry. "Little children, keep yourselves from idols," John said. Just a short time, forgotten everything that God had done, forgotten their commitment, and now they've got gods. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early in the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings, and the people sat down. This is where it came from in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 7. The people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. They're just going to have a big party. Forgotten God, forgotten about Moses, forgotten their commitment, forgotten the blessings that God had poured into their life, and now they're reveling. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go, get thee down, for thy people, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." Notice this, they have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. You know, there's no new thing under the sun. There would have been some people, maybe young people at the camp, who made a commitment to the Lord. And already they're starting to waver on that commitment. "I'm just going to be a better witness for the Lord. I'm just going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that." And some of them maybe already are starting to waver. Starting to waver. Starting to think idolatrous thoughts and coveting the things of this world and the pleasures of this world. And the Lord said unto Moses, I've seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I'll make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God, and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and saidst unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I will give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain. The two tables of the testimony were in his hand. The tables were written on both their sides. On the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. As they begin to come down from the mountain, they could hear this noise coming up from the valley there. And Joshua turns to Moses and said, it sounds like there's a war down there. Loud noise is coming. Much noise coming up. And Moses said, it's not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome. But the noise of them that sing do I hear. I put a note alongside my the verse here in my Bible. I put a note here. Christian rock. That's what it would have been like. Just having a big time. Loud thumping noises and everything else that goes with Christian rock. Sounds like there's a war on, but there's not. It came to pass as soon as he came nigh unto the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing. You got some holy dancing as well. And Moses' anger waxed hot. Reminds me of that, what we're talking about Wednesday night, Mars Hill Church in America. On New Year's Eve, they have a champagne party. And there was a picture of some holy dancing there at this champagne party while the Christian rock thumping in the background. Very similar to Moses and the children of Israel. No new thing under the sun. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. He took the calf which he had made and burned in the fire and ground it to powder and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? He said, what's the deal, Moses? What happened? How come this riotous carry-on, this idolatry here around this golden calf? And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Just calm down. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. He said, they're a mischievous bunch, you know that. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. And I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. But can you believe it, Aaron said. I mean, it's amazing. The people, that mischievous bunch, they came up to me and said, look, we don't know what's going on with Moses. What are we going to do? I said, well, if you got some gold, bring it to me and we'll see what we can do. And so they got their gold earrings and... He said, I just threw the gold earrings into the fire and out popped this golden calf. Can you imagine? Isn't that something? Wow. I mean, what a pitiful, pitiful story. And when Moses saw it, the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies. You say, has that happened today? Yes, that article I read the other day at that church, they had a Japanese punk rock band, and that punk rock band were naked in their performance, literally. Same thing happens today as back then, idolatry. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. I asked myself the question about this. Why didn't the other tribes stand up? Remember, they'd all said, "We believe God. We fear God. We are all going to obey God in all that he tells us." So where's the rest of them now? When Moses said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." But just the Levites gathered themselves together unto him. Then I wondered why the Levites did. The rest didn't. Would have been easy to stay with the crowd. The Levites stepped out and said, "We're on the Lord's side." You know, you and I sometimes have to step out the crowd, don't we? If we're going to be committed to the Lord, and if we're going to do all the Lord wants us to do, then we're going to have to stand out a little bit sometimes from the crowd and be like the Levites. They would have stood out. The rest of the children of Israel, in their tens and hundreds of thousands of them there, were standing back. But the Levites stepped out and said, "We're on the Lord's side." Now, they were part of that crowd that were gathering around the golden calf. But when the challenge came to them, "If you're on the Lord's side, step out," they stepped out. And he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbour." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Moses said, "Someone has to pay for this idolatry. You Levites, strap on your sword and go and deal with the leaders of this crowd." And Moses had said, "Consecrate yourself today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." Moses said, "God wants to bless you, but you're going to have to deal with the sin, the idolatry, and deal with the leaders." The Bible tells us there how the children of the Levites went into the camp and 3,000 men died as a result of their disobedience and their idolatry. Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 said, "These things are written for our example and for our admonition and for our learning." And these people, Paul described them as guilty of idolatry. And may the Lord deliver us from covetousness, which is idolatry. Most of us aren't going to have a golden calf in our house. But we may have other idolatrous things around the place. We need to be careful of that. These people had forgotten their commitment to God. They'd forgotten. They said, "All that the Lord has told us, all of it we will do. All of us will do it." And again, maybe you and I need to think about this. We get to a place, we're in a meeting maybe, whether it's a camp or we get a special preacher in, and we just say, "Lord, I'm just going to live for you. Lord, I'm going to start memorizing the scripture. Lord, I'm going to start having a daily quiet time. Lord, I'm going to be a better witness for you. I'm going to get out there and talk to people about the Lord." And we mean it, and we're serious, and we're diligent. But a short time goes by and we're back in the old ways again. Back in the old way of living. Somehow or other we've forgotten the commitment, and we've forgotten the way God has blessed us and brought us to that place of commitment, even where we just want to serve God because what he's done for us and how he's blessed us. And Lord, we just want to live for you and serve you. And Lord, nobody, nothing's going to stop us. And then, like the children of Israel, they turned aside quickly out of the way which God had commanded them. And may the Lord help us as we make commitments and as we determine to live for the Lord, that we don't forget what God has done for us, and we don't forget those commitments and get drawn aside through idolatry and any number of other things that can happen. Young people, if you made a commitment to the Lord during that camp, then make sure you follow through with that. You know, it doesn't take long. Week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and boy, it's all gone. All the blessings gone, and now we're back down into the day-to-day and humdrum living, and basic living of life, and we forget the commitment, and we forget what we said we'd do before the Lord. We said, Lord, we'll just serve you. Lord, we're sick of being lukewarm. We're sick of being half-baked. Lord, we're sick of not obeying you as we ought to, and we're going to just live for you. And a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, and we quickly turn aside. Forgotten commitments. May the Lord help us this morning. If there's somebody this morning who's made a commitment to the Lord about any area of their Christian life and not following through on it, you've forgotten it. And this morning God just reminds you of it and says, listen, don't forget that commitment you made, whether it was at the camp, whether it was maybe just in your quiet time reading the Word of God, and God spoke to your heart about something. You said, boy, Lord, I'm just going to be different from now on. I'm going to do this, Lord. I'm going to live for you here. I'm going to be a better witness or whatever it is. And you got before God and you were serious and you meant it, but today you'd have to say, the Lord's challenged you about something, and the Lord's saying, you don't forget that commitment you made. You've already begun to turn aside. Maybe you're contemplating, Lord, this is getting too hard. We're just such a minority. And Lord, the crowd are all doing their own thing out there. Remember, straight as a gate, narrow as a way that leads to life, few that be that go in thereat. And then along those few, there's few that stay committed and serious about the things of God. And maybe it is that God's saying to you this morning, don't forget that commitment you made. There was a commitment you made. You said, God, by your grace, I'm going to do it. And you'd have to say before God, God, I've stopped that. I haven't followed through the way I should have. And Lord, could you please forgive me and help me, Lord, to do all that you've asked me to do. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Word of God, Lord, for it truly does reflect right up to date, today, exactly, Lord, where the world is and where God's people are and where we're at. And, Lord, even as Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, wherefore let a man take heed when he thinketh that he stand, lest he fall. Maybe, Lord, for some of us, just a warning to maintain the commitments we've made to you. We may say, well, I wouldn't be like the children of Israel and build a golden calf. No, but you may be guilty of idolatry if you're not careful. Let a man take heed when he thinketh that he stand. I don't think it's relevant to me. Let a man take heed. These things are written for our admonition and for our example and for our learning. And maybe there's someone this morning who has made some commitment in recent days or maybe even in the past, and the Lord's said to you this morning, that commitment, you've forgotten it. You're not following through on it. You need to make that fresh commitment to the Lord this morning. Say, Lord, all you've said, I'll do. Just while our eyes are closed and heads bowed, maybe God's spoken to you and God said, you've forgotten a commitment. You haven't been following through. This morning you need to renew that commitment to live for God and do whatever that is that you promised God that you'd do. I'd like to pray for you if that's you. God's spoken to your heart about something. Just lift your hand, I'll pray for you in a moment. Say, God's spoken to me about something. I remember now that I made a particular commitment to God. Maybe it was to read your Bible more. Maybe it was to pray more. Maybe it was to witness more. Whatever it is, but God has spoken to you about something in the past. It might have been a week ago, might have been 6 months ago, whatever. But you'd say this morning, God has challenged me this morning about a commitment I made. I haven't followed through as I ought to. Could you pray for me, Pastor, that I would follow through now with that commitment? Anybody at all? Maybe there's someone who needs to make some kind of commitment to God this morning and be serious about some aspect of the Christian life. Then may the Lord help you to do that. Now, Father, we just praise you for your goodness once again. And Lord, help us, Lord, to be like the children of Israel when they were at their zenith, Lord, when they said, all that the Lord has said, all we will do. Lord, may we be like that. And may we continue, Lord, to the things that we've committed to you and be faithful. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.